Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution is made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. Dynamic growth, balanced income, select growth and income programs, the 401k solution, disciplined equity. These are the diversified programs of KPP Financial, designed to meet your goals and match up with your life situation. See more about them if you'd like on investtalk.com. Just click on the investments tab.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this Tuesday, February 23rd edition of InvestTalk. Our InvestTalk mission is to empower you to take full charge of your financial life. That's our job, to try to get you to do that. Be in charge. Even if you hire a money manager like me, you're still your money. You still have to watch it. And someday, you know, our goal is to someday for you to achieve financial independence. That's what everybody wants. As always, during this hour, your questions always come first. Our listener line is 888-99-CHART. You can call anytime you want. You can also send a note by clicking on Contact Steve or Contact Justin on investtalk.com. That's investtalk.com. Two T's in there. No space. I want to thank everyone who attended our Wealth Conference Saturday morning in San Jose. We had a really good turnout. We met many of our regular listeners and some newcomers, so I appreciate it. I hope you felt it was worthwhile, those of you who came. I hope you got something out of it. In my market commentary yesterday, posted on investtalk.com, I raised the question of the Federal Reserve and its influence on the market. As a little background, the Federal Reserve was established in 1913. Its functions then were quite different from today. Back then, it lent money to banks to encourage them to lend to businesses, and they might not otherwise loan money, you know, that they wouldn't. The Fed did different things, okay? They would, you know, the Federal Reserve that you know today raises interest rates, but the only rate they raise is the rate that they lend money to other banks. That's the only rate they control, okay? But that is not all that they can do. And you could argue that they should have left interest rates alone, which I did, because it was just too soon. And I started comparing it with the interest rates and what they did in 1937, which was during the Great Depression. We were coming out of the Great Depression. We actually had an economy that was growing then, and inflation was picking up sharply. Okay, so the Fed started. They didn't raise interest rates back then. What the Federal did, they three times they increased the reserve requirement at the banks. In other words, they made the banks hold on to more and more money, not lending it out. They wanted to slow down the economy. It was getting, inflation might, looked like it was going to run away. And this was right after different things were going on. The FDIC was invented, so people are pouring money into banks. And, you know, there was different things going on. But their effort was to slow the economy, to raise a reserve requirement, requiring banks to hold on to money and not lend them out so much. And then by 1938, the market fell down 50%. We were back in the recession. They started too soon. So did they do it again? Remember, they just raised the rate in December. They didn't just change the reserve requirement, but they raised the rate in December, in a sense, doing the same kind of thing, which is take liquidity out of the market. And did they move too quickly? That's really the question I'm asking, and I felt that they did. I felt it was too soon. I think they felt compelled to raise rates because they said they were going to do for a year. They're going to raise rates in last year. They kept saying it for a year in advance. And they eventually did. Now there was an article out today about the Fed still on the path for raising rates. I think that's a mistake. We'll see. That was a market commentary, by the way. That was written Monday. Do you have questions about the Fed, the Federal Reserve, or any money questions? So let's talk about it if you do. Our number is 888-99-CHART, and you can call it anytime you want.
My name is Lance. I'm calling from Antioch, California. We listen to you on 1220 AM in the Bay Area, and we're pleased that they're carrying your show. I'm wondering about IRAs. I'm 64 years old. I've recouped my losses in the stock market, plus a little bit. I'd like to protect it now. And I'm wondering, what kind of IRA. I don't want an IRA that I think goes right back into the S&P 500 or invests in the stock market. I'm wondering, what about TIPS or anything like that? Are there IRAs for those? Thank you very much. Bye.
Okay, you're confusing IRAs as an investment as opposed to a vehicle in which investments are purchased. So inside or outside of IRA, you can buy TIPS. Okay, TIPS are Treasury Inflation Protected Securities, TIPS. It's an ETF that buys Treasury Inflation Protected Securities. But an IRA is just like any other account. You can have an IRA, a joint account, a trust account, and any of those accounts you can buy TIPS. You can buy any equity in an IRA that you can outside of equity, except for in an IRA, you can't short stocks. Short stocks. And, you know, I don't necessarily want to get into that. So you can open up an IRA, but it wouldn't just because you open an IRA doesn't protect your money. It's what you invest in that will protect your money. If you want to be conservative, TIPS, Treasury Inflation Protected Bonds, they will they pay a set amount of interest rate based on what the inflation rate is. So right now it's very, very low because there's hardly any inflation. If you feel inflation is going to pick up, TIPS would be a something that you would do because every 6 months they reset, add in the inflation rate increase. Now there's more details to that, but that's how they work. Every 6 months they reset. So if inflation continues to rise, they continue to raise interest rates so that you can stay ahead of inflation. So they pay a base rate plus inflation. So there's nothing wrong with that as an investment, and it would be not in the market. You would not have any exposure in the stock market if you did TIPS. Okay? But there's other things you could do too. It's not the only thing you could do. Are you at the right risk level? How do you know if you're at the right risk level? We talked about this so many times, but this is a little bit different. And that's going to be our main talking point. Are you at the right risk level? Also, how are hedge funds doing this year? We know that they had a terrible year last year. How are they doing this year? Remember, it's been a pretty bad market year. So where are they? What are they doing? It's always interesting or informative to find out what the hedge funds are doing. Doesn't mean you copy them because every once in a while they blow up and they lose tons of money. 1 in 4 Americans are on the edge of financial ruin. There was a survey that I want to talk about. 1 in 4 Americans. Let's see if you're one of those 1 in 4. We got to do something about it if you are. And did you know you can take out money from your Roth IRA with no tax or penalty anytime? You can take money out of your Roth IRA with no tax, no penalty anytime. But there are rules. But so you got to follow the rules. So I'll talk about that. What does that mean? Anytime, no tax. It's a Roth IRA. I can take money out of it? Yeah. But only certain kinds of money. So we'll get into that. Those are the things I want to talk about. How about you? What's on your mind? The market today was down. The Dow was down 159. The Nasdaq down 58. And the S&P down 18. So the market had, you know, really good market rally, relatively speaking. In 3 or 4 days, it had, you know, 200-point days or 2, 3, 4 days. And then it went right sideways a little bit a couple of days and then down today. It's hitting some resistance, moving up, hits some resistance. And for the S&P 500, that resistance right around 1940, and today it fell to, let's see, what was today's close? Close, 1929. The high today was 1942. So 1940 is the resistance it hit. And you can see how it hit that yesterday and broke above it a little bit yesterday. I mean, yesterday's close was just a tear above 1940 at 1945. So that's where the S&P 500 is finding some resistance. Now the NASDAQ, if you look at the NASDAQ and look at a chart, because that's what I'm reading the charts, it didn't quite get up to the resistance. It just got into the area of resistance, but not quite there. It should have went up a little bit further and then broke down today with the rest of the other two major index, Dow and S&P. So that's where we are. The market still not looking very good for the year. But February is much better than it was in January. You know, so that's a good thing. Even though it bottomed in February, the market bottomed in February, but and it bottomed much lower than January, but it also has recovered a bit. So will that continue? Of course, that's what everybody wants to know. And no one knows. I'm not very comfortable with the market right now. Let me put it that way. I'm just not very comfortable with what it's doing. Is now a good time to downsize? Should you treat your home as a retirement asset? Now there's another source of answers for your real estate questions. Besides calling into our listener line, you can ask more detailed questions about your situation if you want, your real estate situation. Get a note to Justin or myself, and we'll talk about it. Just go to investtalk.com, click on Contact Justin or Contact Steve, and we'll get back to you, we promise. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to James in New York. How are you doing, James? You want to talk about gold?
Yes, I would. I'd like to talk about gold.
Sure.
Just as an example, ticker symbol, I own it, and I believe you said you keep it in your clients' portfolios as well, ABX, Barrick Gold Company.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to know, I know that you have said numerous times that gold will be making a rise, and I've been watching it lately. I was wondering if, A, this might be the start of that or the beginning of that, and B, for a stock like Barrick Gold, it's at its 52-week high relatively at this point. How much room does that have to run? And could that go up to $30? Could it go up to more in a rising gold?
I believe it'll go up more. I think all the gold miners will go up higher, and we do own ABX and have for a while, for a number of months. And I think what we're going to see, we've seen a really strong rally, James, and every time I've seen a very strong rally in anything in a short period of time, there's always a retracement of some kind. So I expect Barrick to give up some of these recent gains. I really do. And then start another leg up. I think gold is going to probably rally this year and next. So it's a place do you want to go. And it's kind of anti-stock market. So you don't, so that's one of the reasons why in our stock account we're up this year is because I got 5 precious metal positions and all of them are doing really well in this year. But I do expect a little bit of pullback, James. So don't, you don't have to jump in like you're going to miss the rally. You probably won't. You can buy on a pullback.
So I actually already own it.
Bought
it. I purchased it at about $11, maybe a year ago. But you think that it's wise to hold ABX and gold in general? I have a couple of other positions as well.
Yeah, I do because as gold prices go up, you look at ABX and you say, man, Barrick Gold is ABX, everybody. And it's a gold mining company, as we all know. And you look at their earnings and say, man, they haven't had good earnings. Their earnings are going down quarter after quarter after quarter. And, of course, they went down quarter after quarter after quarter because gold is going down quarter after quarter. Now that gold has turned or at least leveled out and starting to move up, earnings are going to start looking pretty good in the future. I have a feeling we're going to see a turnaround and the numbers are going to start looking much better. They're going to make 39 cents this year after making 30 cents a share last year. But that's way down from $4 a share in 2012. Next year, they're going to make 44 cents. So they're now on the other path of increasing earnings, and the sales have been falling, but they're now falling much less. I think next quarter, you're going to see sales actually increase for the first time. So I think it's got a ways to go on the upside yet, James. You just might have a pullback because it's gone up too fast, too quick. Okay?
Sure.
Thanks. Thanks, James. Appreciate the call. Thank you for calling up there from New York. Appreciate that. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and this is InvestTalk, everybody. We're here to help you answer all your money questions. 888-99-CHART.
Good advice. Spread your money around. Stick to a well-thought-out plan for carefully divvying up your money so no single calamity will destroy your portfolio. Want to talk about it? 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now.
888-992-4278. So what do you want to talk about? Anything financial, we'll discuss it. Anything not financial, well, not too much. Are you at the right risk level? And how you can tell that? we of course have that risk allies on our website, and you can take the risk questionnaire, and it tries to determine what your personal risk tolerance is by asking, some questions with a little bit of psychology behind it. And just trying to gauge your risk tolerance, your real risk tolerance, for you. But, how you can really tell is, what did you do in 2008 when the market went down 45, 50%? Have you panicked out in this recent fall, in the worst January we ever had, down 10% or so? And if you get out, that tells you you can't handle the risk of the stock market if you get out. Now, that doesn't mean you don't protect yourself. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that if you let your emotions decide what you should do by moving your money out of stocks, and you justify it any way you want to, based on what's going on in the market, not based on what's going on in that stock or the portfolio needs rebalancing or whatever, but because of the market, you justify getting out. Well, this stock is not performing good enough or whatever. But you have to be honest with yourself. You're getting out because the market's going down? And if you say yes, then you really shouldn't take as much risk in the market as you're in, because obviously it's a problem. Doesn't mean you don't have any money in the market. Maybe you can handle, 50% in the market, 50% out. It depends on you. Again, it's always up to you. It's in your hands. Because, even a money manager such as myself, and, we're in the market, and I get a phone calls about people don't want to get out of the market. Even though we went up, even though our account is up for the year, I still get phone calls, should we get out? The market's falling. They said, we've already reacted to this possibility late last year, middle of last year. We already reacted to a market that would fall, and we're not going to react to it now. Now we should be thinking about what the future is. We want to react now to what we think the future is going to be based on hard economic information. That's what we're talking about. Are you taking too much risk? Because the risk that you're taking shouldn't be dictated by what the market's doing and you're reacting to it. That's very, very dangerous, because you'll do the other, just the opposite. That's how you get into the habit of buying high and selling low, because you're reacting to the market already. So when the market collapses or falls, then you get out. When the max, you get out at the bottom. Then when the market rallies, you start getting in or thinking about getting back in when it's already rallied. It's very common. This is difficult because it gets human nature to go, the stock market is a place that you have to fight your human nature. It's very difficult. So it takes practice and it takes you understanding yourself. So that's all I'm asking. Try to understand how you're reacting. Not how you think you're reacting, how you actually are reacting. How are you reacting? Do you look to get out because the market's down? Well, see, you should have looked to get out before the market fell down. That's what you should do. Now, should you look to get in because the market fell down? Well, if it's down hard enough, you start to think about getting back in, yes. It's difficult. It's very difficult. Our phone number is always open to your questions, whether you're new to investing or have a more complex question. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hey, Steve and Justin, this is Jason from up the hill in Victorville. I've got a question regarding ConocoPhillips, ticker symbol COP. I bought quite a bit of shares about 6 months ago. I was wondering what your general outlook is on it. I know you like big oil right now. It's taken quite a bit of a beating here in the last few months. Would this be a good time to pick up more shares, or should I just hold right now? I would just like to know your thoughts on it. And I love the show, and I appreciate your help. Thanks.
ConocoPhillips is a $40 billion company. We actually own this in our income program because it pays a 3% dividend. And it's going to recover. So it is going to recover. It's how much? They're going to lose $1.98 a share this year before they turn around next year and make 50 cents. This is the problem. Everybody knows a problem. What I like is a lot of insiders have been buying as this stock has been coming down, down, down. Insiders are buying it. They're not selling. They're buying. Now, the insiders don't own a lot of the $40 billion, but you've had three insiders buying since like September. And that's when the stock bottomed in September, and it recently bottomed again, a little bit lower than that. But as it's bottoming, insiders are buying. It's selling 80% of book value. It's selling below book value. That tells you, even though the earnings and sales have not done well and they're going to turn around next year, it still tells you that, it's really inexpensive compared to its underlying valuation. So I kind of like ConocoPhillips at this point, and I like it in this area. Whether you should add more, it depends on how much you have. Don't get more than 3 to 5% of your portfolio in just any one stock ever. You're listening to Invest Talk. Coming up next half hour, have you done your retirement arithmetic? 888-99-CHARTER is our anytime number, and you can call it right now.
For our Southern California subscribers, if you're looking to buy, sell, or invest in real estate, here's a seminar for you. Learn the ins and outs of the 1031 exchange, and InvestTalk's own Justin Klein will dig into the investment side of real estate. You'll see examples, too, of current real estate investments. It's Thursday, February 25th, 5:30 p.m. at J.T. Schmid's Restaurant. That's 2415 Park Avenue in Tustin, California. And again, that's February 25th at J.T. Schmid's in Tustin. We continue now with this Tuesday, February 23rd Invest Talk. And now you can think of KPP Financial as a resource for real estate answers. To get your individual question to us, ask a licensed realtor. Click on Contact Justin on investtalk.com or call 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Mike. He wants to talk about Devon Energy in San Jose. How are you doing, Mike?
Good. Thank you, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
What's your opinion on Devon Energy, please?
Devon Energy is also engaged in exploration and production of oil, gas in the United States and Canada, similar to ConocoPhillips, but Devon Energy is much smaller at $9.8 billion. And it has the same issues where the sales have been going down, earnings are going to lose money this year, $1.24, then rebound next year, 70 cents a share. So you would think at it and say, well, why wouldn't you buy this one over ConocoPhillips? For two reasons. One is ConocoPhillips pays 3% dividend, and this one pays Devon Energy, DVN is the symbol, everybody, pays 1.3% dividend. Also, ConocoPhillips is selling at 80% of book value, so less than 20% below book value, where Devon is selling at 147%. Percent of book value, 47% higher than the book value. So from a book value point of view, your ConocoPhillips looks much more attractive to me. On the other hand, both have insiders buying while the stock is down. So that tells you that even these the insiders on this company have faith in the company. So it's a good company. It's not going to go out of business or anything like that. But if you're going to give me a choice, I'd probably pick ConocoPhillips just because of the book value and the size. It's much bigger. Okay?
Is there anything you can say where the support is and possibly entry?
Okay, on Devon Energy, there's no real support back a year. So you got to go to a weekly chart. And you got to go, even on a weekly chart, there's no support. I'm going to go to a monthly chart. Okay, you got to go to a monthly chart, and this hasn't been this low since 2002. That's where the support is, and it's right around this price. But that's a long way back, so it really is taking a big hit. So it will recover, Mike. It will recover. It's just which one will recover faster and which one's a better buy. Which is this a good one to buy? And I think you got other opportunities out there in the same field that are better than this one.
Okay.
Okay? Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the call. Devon Energy, DVN, everybody. Let's go to BJ in Fremont. How you doing, BJ?
Steve, thanks for taking my call. As usual, nice show. Enjoy your talking.
Thank you.
I have a question for a stock called Roper Technologies, ROP.
Yes.
Is a symbol. I am thinking of buying some. I already have some. Please let me know what's your opinion, whether it's a good time to accumulate or to get out.
Okay, this is Roper Technologies, everybody, Inc., out of Sarasota, Florida. They manufacture energy systems, controls, scientific and industrial imaging software, and industrial instrumentation products. It is a $17 billion company. It's pretty big. Probably hardly anybody's ever heard of it. But it's a big cap company. They're going to make $7.02 this year. Okay, that's going to be up $6.68 from last year. Next year, it's going to be $7.63, and that's going to be up another 9% next year. So those are good numbers. Sales are flat. In other words, they're not growing or not shrinking in the last three quarters. So they're wringing out more profit from the same sales. They don't have a tremendous amount of debt. They pay a small dividend, 0.7%. Management owns 3%. That's a pretty good size ownership by management for a $17 billion company. Return on equity is just pretty good at 14%. Not great. And it looks like a pretty decent company, but it's had a very strong run, BJ. I don't know if I would buy more at this level. I would rather see you buy it if it comes back and give back some of these gains. I mean, it's run from, $41 to $160 since, what? Oh, I'm looking at a monthly chart. Let me go back to a daily. I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, different. Okay, let's see. No, I get this would be a good, you actually right now is a good place to buy on a daily chart. Looks like it's hitting some resistance right now, but you know, it's a good price for this stock right here. Okay.
Yeah, so that's why I was thinking that maybe I'll jump in on this.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call, BJ. Appreciate it. Yeah, it's gone well because the market's done well the last 4 or 5 days. So it looks like it's, you know, short term, it's been tracking the indexes. But it's a pretty decent company. I mean, it's a good company. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So how are the hedge funds doing this year? They did pretty poorly last year. Well, the average return for the average hedge fund so far this year is minus 4%. So they've shrank 4%. Now, that's better than the overall mutual fund industry is down 6%. Okay? And this was, by the way, this is the worst start for a hedge fund since 2008. So that's not unusual because it's been the worst start of the market in history. So January. Now, what are they buying? They have increased their holdings in four major companies: Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. And they have increased pretty sharply their holdings in these companies. The only one I feel comfortable with is Google at this point. Even then, I wouldn't recommend it yet. But that's what's happening in the hedge fund industry. They're down for the year, not down as far as the average mutual fund in the stock market. This was one of the worst starts since 2008. They had a poor 2015 last year, so they're starting off poorly. Not as bad as the overall market. And they have increased their holdings in Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google in general. They call those the FANG, F-A-N-G. Facebook, Amazon, Google, and Netflix, FANG funds. Why? Because these four funds, there was nine of them actually, they're in the same kind of group, last year held up the market. If you weren't in those nine stocks last year, you were down heavily last year. So, you know, don't feel bad if you had some really bad performing numbers, much worse than the market, because You know, these there were nine big blue chip stocks that held up the market. I mean, the market wasn't positive, but it held up the market. Okay? So that's what the hedge funds are doing right now. One of the services we provide to a limited number of our listeners is a free checkup. I'll be in San Jose tomorrow. That's Wednesday, February 24th, tomorrow. Then in San Diego County, March 2nd, and then it's back to San Ramon, March 9th. I get around, people. So these dates are posted on investtalk.com. March, I have a couple slots open tomorrow, which I've got five appointments and 1 hour each. And, you know, I can do without lunch. So if you want to meet with me, you go to investtalk.com. It's the first time, it's a first come, first served basis, by the way. You know, the time slots just take up. So to save your time, just go to investtalk.com and click on schedule a meeting or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts.
If you have the right tools, life is so much easier. Well, now there's even a tool that helps you measure just how much investment risk you're comfortable with. It's our award-winning risk analysis tool on investtalk.com. And if you want, after you take the brief quiz, you can take it to the next level and see if your current retirement portfolio actually matches up with your risk tolerance. Take 3 minutes, give it a try. It's there in the blue box on investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART. Let's go talk to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask you.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask you about if Janet Yellen decides to go negative interest rates, will that affect the mortgage rates at all?
Yeah, it'll pull them down. Yeah, it should. It should pull them down further. Yes. And then we'll have another round of refinancing. Maybe we'll get rates down to 2-2.5% of mortgage rates. But the banks will be very unhappy. That will hurt the banks so much that the stock market may crash because of that, if that ever happened. Now, no one knows for sure that she's going to go to negative rates, because right now, they raised the rates in December, and they're talking about not raising them anytime soon. But one of the Federal Reserve president said that they need to keep raising rates. That was out today.
I just wonder how that's going to impact the mortgages. So
yeah, it will pull them down. It will definitely pull them down.
Okay. All right, Steve, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Art, appreciate it. So if we do get there, if that happens to happen, another rush of refinancing, and you know, that'll help, you know, a lot of people. And that might help the market, the economy, because they have more money in their pocket. But the banks, remember, you know, the financial institutions are kind of a leading indicator of what the whole market's going to do. If they're suffering, it's a problem. And I know you've been watching them, and they've been down pretty hard this year so far. Let's go to Julio in Redwood City. How you doing, Julio?
Hey, how are you doing? Thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask if you could give me some advice. I have currently owned FTX, Freeport, and I was wondering if you can give me some insight in regards to holding that position, or it's recently gone up quite a bit, but I'm not sure if I want to buy a little bit more or stay put for a bit.
Okay, this is Freeport MacMoran. Is that what you own?
That's correct.
Okay. Engage in exploration and development of copper, gold, silver, molybdenum mines in Indonesia, north and south, and that's why it's done well, because precious metals have done well. And what's nice about these is they're kind of anti-market right now. So the overall stock market is still, you know, it's falling, but these are starting to recover pretty fast. So if you're asking me whether you should hold on to it, I would suggest that you do still hold on to it. Now, the reason why it's not moving as well as some other gold mining or silver mining companies is because it does more than just gold and silver. It mines for other metals as well. And so therefore, it's not a pure play in the gold mining area. It made 22 cents a share last year, 2015. This year, it's only going to make 11 cents. So you're thinking, oh, my goodness, Why it's going down. Then it's going to make 79 cents a share in 2017. So, and you're paying a 2.8% dividend. So, you know, I think you kind of hold on to these things. I think they're going to recover. If you've held them, if you've had them when they're bad, Julio, I think you need to stay with them a little bit. Okay?
Okay. How about picking up a few more shares?
Not this one. If you're going to play the precious metal, find one more. We talked about ABX. That's a more direct play in gold. We own that one. When that one pulls back, I'd rather see you buy a pure gold play as opposed to Freeport-McMoRan. Okay?
Got it. I appreciate your feedback. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Julio. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Daniel Palo Alto. How you doing, Daniel?
Yes, sir. Good to talk to you. Listen to you on 1220 every day.
Great.
I just had a quick question. Speaking of, would you be touching Bank of America or American Express right now? They seem to have taken quite a hit.
Okay. I don't think so. Not yet. I'm just too concerned about the banks right now. I think that there's a part of me that says, well, they took a big hit, just like you suggest. And if they start to recover, they can start recovering from here and just keep going up. And that is possible, but I'm thinking that I think being patient is not a bad thing at this point. Their earnings are going to recover. They made $1.31 last year per share. They're going to make $1.49 this year for Bank of America in particular. And then $1.67 next year. So their earnings are look like they're trying to turn around. And the price is fairly reasonable. You know, it's with 10 PE. I mean, there's a lot of things about it. You say, this doesn't look bad. And you're right. It doesn't look bad. This is an area. It's pretty inexpensive. So, Daniel, if you could hold on to this and close your eye for a couple, 3 years, yeah, I think you'll make money on this deal.
All right. And American Express, same thing?
American Express is a whole different kind of animal because it's not a pure bank play. You know, it's a credit card play.
And I hear you.
So it's a bit different. I would rather, if you're going to take a roll, you roll the dice in the banks, I think.
All right. Thank you, okay. Sir. So
thanks,
much.
Daniel. For me, I think we'll have a deeper correction this year, and that's one I kind of want to wait for. I think we'll get it. Of course, I could be wrong. You know, it's very difficult to know. But, you know, I'm just being a bit more cautious this year. I was cautious last year. Wish I was more cautious. But I'm more cautious at the beginning of this year. As I said, we were going to get a bounce. I think we're going to get a bounce. We're getting a bounce in the indexes. That bounced nicely. Now the question is, can it hold that bounce? So let's just don't be over anxious to get back in. Don't be over anxious to pull the trigger. Not quite yet. Our InvestTalk Anytime number is 888-99-CHART. I'm here to answer any of your questions, any money questions, any of them, any kind of money. The beginner or advanced, doesn't matter. 888-99-CHART.
Part of the InvestTalk experience is visiting our website, investtalk.com. And one of the reasons for a visit is Steve's market commentary. Just go to investtalk.com and scroll down to his market commentary.
Time for InvestTalk Personal, everybody. The day-to-day money choices that can make a difference. When it comes to how much money you need in retirement, what is that number? Well, our friends at Investopedia.com have a simple formula. It is 10 times your final salary. So if you make $100,000 in the final year before retire, you need 10 times that. Now, they get this number from Fidelity Investments. It's not something that Investopedia made up, but they get it from Fidelity. And more precisely, they multiply it times 10 and use other factors as well, and at an age of 67, retirement age. So Fidelity suggests using different matrix, you know, an annual savings rate, savings factor, income replacement rate, sustainable withdrawal rate, you know, it gets more complex. But there's a good rule of thumb, 10 times your final year annual salary at age 67. Now, U.S. News and World Report offers a slightly different rules of the thumb. You know, they definitely, you know, everybody's different. No one is exactly the same. They suggest you need 6 months worth of income in emergency savings. Do you have that? Most people don't have that. The reality is, your numbers can be unique to your situation. And that's why it's good to sit down with somebody like me or somebody else and go through this type of conversation. What are the factors that affect you? Where do you want to live? How much money do you have saved now? How much do you need to save? And, you know, how much debt do you have? All, you know, all those various questions, that the questions I'll be talking to people tomorrow about in San Jose. And those are the kind of questions, that kind of conversation needs to happen. How much, you know, how much, it's not rocket science. You can, it's all these rule of thumbs that apply that you can do yourself. You know, you just need to know what questions you need to answer. You know, what to ask and what to answer. And so you talk, you just sit down, and it's free. You, a lot of money managers will meet with you for free. Yeah, and many of them will try to pressure you into doing something. I don't do that, but I know there are out there. So try to avoid those guys. And same thing with financial planners. They'll talk to you for free that first time, and then they'll want to sell you something. So just be aware of that. But you can get some answers for free. That's Investop Personal. If you'd like to see this article on Investopedia.com, there's a link right next to our main talking point today at InvestTalk.com. That's two T's, InvestTalk.com. Check in now, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, guys. I was calling in to ask about this stock, ABBV, symbol ABBV. Wanted to get your opinion on what you think the outlook is for the year and what would be a good price point to get into the stock. Thank you for your thoughts.
Okay, this is a stock that we own in our in a, one of our managed accounts. Developed Humira and other pharmaceuticals and biological treatments for rheumatoid arthritis and you know, Crohn's disease. It has very good numbers. They're going to make they made $4.29 a share last year. They're going to make $5.03 this year. That's 17% increase, and then $5.97 next year, 19% increase. Sales are accelerating. Then 17% last quarter, a year ago, it was 10% growth. A year before, that was 5% growth. So, like, so it pays a 4.1% dividend. That's one of the reasons we like it. They're a little heavy on the debt. They have plenty of cash flow, but, that's not my biggest little concern is that debt. It's kind of heavy. But the stock has done quite well compared to the rest of the market this year. I mean, it hasn't gone down nearly as much. So, you know, I kind of like it right where it is. You might wait a little bit. It broke above the 20-day moving average yesterday. Maybe, and that's right around, you know, $54 or so. The 100-day moving average is 50, almost 57. You might want to wait till it breaks above that and another strong break if it breaks above 61, which is the 200-day moving average. Those are really good buy points. So you could wait a little bit and see if it breaks up above the 100-day moving average and then buy. ABBV. Hour's up. I hope you found it worth your time. A reminder that if you have a question you'd like to ask me directly, you can send me a note by going to investtalk.com and clicking on Contact Steve. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein, everyone at KPP, thank you for listening today, and let's get together again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.